T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Because they have a loser mentality, Dustin. That's how I see it. Whining about that penalty. Your buddy C. Grant, your former teammate, I guess once a former teammate, always a teammate, OSU linebacker C. Grant with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. C., how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good, man. How are you both doing today?
Well, I'm doing well, and we've been talking with you, with your buddy, and I was disappointed that we didn't get more of you guys on the broadcast last night. I wanted to hear more. What I wanted them to do was pick out specific big moments in the game and then have you guys kind of go through your state of mind and all your thoughts. I would have loved to see you what you guys were thinking when you had fourth and when Krenzel and the offense had 4th and 14.
Right.
In the overtime, I wish they would have gone to you and said, hey, what were you guys thinking on the bench, the defense or the Jenkins? Hey, what were you thinking in that moment? I was disappointed we didn't get that, you know?
Yeah, I hear you on that.
They should have gone to you guys more.
But I'll tell you, you know, since you brought it up with the 4th and 14, of course, I mean, there's pressure there, but Dustin and I have discussed this. Our team was built for those moments. I mean, if you watched – our season, you know, the 2002 season, that whole year, we all had, you know, pivotal moments where we had to have someone step up and make a big play. And, you know, Michael Jenkins being our big play wideout, you know, I mean, of course, I was glad that Craig went to him. And I thought that was a very tough catch that he made. And, you know, especially taking that hit from Sean Taylor. But, you know, I had confidence in our guys. I mean, again, you know, when you go through a season like that and you go through the ups and the downs and the trials and tribulations and you come out victorious, why start thinking that it's not going to happen that way at that point?
Good point. Yeah, see, I think it started at Purdue when we were, you know, we're down 6-3. It's fourth quarter. It's 4th and 1. Holy Buckeye play happens. It's kind of funny because, like, when that happened, I don't think our sideline was surprised. I don't think our sideline was like, you know, like, oh, my God, we made this play. Like, I felt like we just – because we'd won so many close games, and I think it even started back in when we barely beat Cincinnati down at Paul Brown Stadium, you know, when they had four cracks at the end zone to win the game. But, like, we always – I think our defense and our team, because Tress was so just even-keeled – you know, we never got too high or too low and thought that we were going to lose. And even I pointed this out on Twitter last night, Tressel, watching his emotions on the broadcast, I'm like, that's why we won the game, man, because we never, ever thought we were out of it. Even down, you know, a touchdown in overtime, we never thought that. And it was a mentality we had. And you said this on the plane when I rode next to you to Tempe, Arizona. We sat in the middle row, and I put it on Twitter last night because I recorded it on my camera, and you said, we are a team of destiny, and there's no doubt that whether you believe in destiny or not, you can believe in the fact that it is belief. And when you believe, you have a chance to have success.
Yes, I agree with you totally. And you made a key point. There were times throughout the season where I can admit, you know, how I felt, you know, to where, you know, there's times where you can get uptight a little bit, but when you look over to your left or right and you see the even keeled of Coach Jim Tressel, I mean, if he's not worried, why should I worry? And so you take on that mentality, and we were very well prepared throughout the whole season for big-time moments. So, you know, I think with that type of leadership, I also pointed out on the air last night, you have to understand who our defensive coaches were too. And that's not to take any way, anything away from our offense, because we can break that down too. I mean, we have some greats on that side of the ball too. But defensively, when you look at, you know, first of all, Mark D'Antonio, and Dustin, you know this, you know, the standard with Coach D is he wants to know how you're going to be in adverse situation. You know, everybody's up and up when things are going well, but how are you going to be, what's your characteristics and what's your character going to be when you're going through adverse situations? So when you're being trained from winter conditioning into spring ball, into fall camp, and it leads into the season, that is a mentality. That is a grooming of your team. That is getting us tough. You know, we wanted to make sure that we were a smart defense. And I thought that we had great minds on, you know, in that capacity. I thought we had a very smart group defensively, and I thought we were very deep. I think, you know, when you look at some of these names, like I said, that still ring true in college football today, a young Luke Fickell, you know, you have Jim Hancock, you have a Mark Snyder, you have a Mel Tucker, and again, Mark D'Antonio. So those guys are, you know, constant professionals. And they always, I felt, did their best to make sure that we were in the right position to be, you know, ballers like we are and make plays. And so, you know, you have to take your hat off to the way that they had us ready to go. And then naturally, we had natural-born leaders on that team too. And so when you put that together, you get a cohesive group, you get a selfless group, and a group that really wants to win and really win it for the great state of Ohio. If you look at a lot of the guys out there, now we had our share of guys from other states, but a lot of those guys are right there from Northeast Ohio or southern part of Ohio. We're Ohio born and bred. And so, again, it was just one hell of a cocktail for us, you know, to come together and make it happen the way that we did. And, you know, I'm 40 years old and we're talking about this. So, yes, yeah. It's a very special moment in time.
Dustin, by the
national
way, I think you should do
C Grant's with us.
Oh, I think you should do your. Sorry, but I think you should do your Mel Tucker impression right now because C mentioned Mel Tucker.
Well, C does it better than me.
C, do you do it better, Dustin? I think you should both do.
Let me take a little shot at this.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead. I see. I need you to get your pad low. Sink on the credit. Break up on the cash. Let's go. Hey, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you don't do your job very well, the band's going to play. And they're not going to play Ohio State song. They're going to play their song. So let's go.
That was awesome.
Hey, Foxy, you are the worst cover two corner in America.
Hey, but I tell you what, Foxy is definitely underrated, you know, and, you know, I tell him this all the time, you know. Yeah. Two of the most athletic people I know in my life is him and his brother, Derek. And and I had a chance to meet those guys very early on. Dustin's father was down in the New Philadelphia area doing work during my time there. And I was also, you know, with the Quakers playing in the Federal League at that time. Yep. And so we had our share of Glen Oak games. And I was just telling Foxy yesterday, that was so huge, you know, playing against those guys. Man, I was at a camp once at Penn State. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, but Derek jumped like 45-inch vertical, man. I was like a freshman. I was actually about to go into my sophomore year. So I believe I'm right. But he jumped like a 40-some-inch vertical in front of Joe Paterno, and they offered him on the spot. Yep. So imagine, I'm a young freshman who's about to turn a sophomore who's going to be the starting quarterback for the New Philadelphia Quakers. So that was my first introduction of, oh man, I'm playing against a big time guy. And I circled that game, and here it is. It's Derek Fox, the starting quarterback of the Glen Oak Golden Eagles, taking on sophomore quarterback Cy Grant, is what they called me in the first half. They got it right the second half, but C Grant and, you know, the Quakers. And so that type of motivation and seeing what he could, you know, Derek could do football, basketball-wise. I mean, you talk about athletes, you can take color and all that out of it. An athlete is an athlete, and Derek was one hell of an athlete, and so is Dustin. Dustin's cut from that same cloth.
Yep.
I told a story about the Outback Bowl, man. We were down in Florida. Dustin was just a freshman. And so during our off time, we would have a chance to go to a complex and play some basketball and whatnot. And I already knew that Justin could – I mean, I already knew that Dustin could jump out of the gym.
Yeah.
So I can remember hitting the basketball and everybody, you know, everybody's athletes. So, yeah, guys were dunking and, yeah, I could have been this and I could have done that. I grabbed the ball and I'm like, Fox, you want to catch an alley-oop? He's like,
bam.
Yeah. It's nothing. So I purposely throw like a wild ass pass and he goes up there. And when he was done, it was like a moment of silence, man. You could hear a pin drop. And that, it's like little moments like that. You know, he showed everybody that day, like, watch your mouth, watch what you say, watch what you do. I belong. And I can do things that you guys can't do. So, man, I have nothing but love for the Fox family.
I think you were underrated, Dustin, because, as I said before, you looked like you were 12 years old when you went to college.
Well, listen, I'll say this much. You know, and this is a story that maybe I've told before in the air, but I never played corner if it's not for C. Grant. Well, C. was not a linebacker. He was at everything. He played – he might have played defensive line at Ohio State, too. They put him at safety. So, like, my freshman year, we had nobody. We were down to, like, three corners, okay, in the secondary. So they moved C from linebacker to corner. And so C's out there, and all we did was play, like, cover two. So C would just get his ass up there and just jam the bleep out of these guys, right? And he played a little cover three from time to time, little man-to-man from time to time. But he was basically a linebacker playing corner. So we're up at the Metrodome. We're playing Minnesota, 2001. And C goes down and hits his head on that damn concrete at the Metrodome, knocks himself out the game, and Coach D'Antonio looks to Mel Tucker, and he's like, Coach Tucker, we got to put in the game. And Mel's like, well, Foxy, you go in there. So I basically get thrown in the game at corner, never played the position in my life, in a Big Ten football game. I'm a true freshman, and they went at me three straight plays to the end zone, and I didn't get scored on. I don't know if I made a play, but I was definitely in coverage because I could run. But that was it. And then they moved me to corner. And then I started the Outback Bowl down there in Tampa Bay. So if C. Grant doesn't bang his head on the turf, I never play corner.
Hey, man, that's a pretty cool story. And I can also remember being knocked out and coming back on the sidelines and Chris Carter coming up to me and like, man, you do understand that there's a road underneath this, you know, patio carpet that they had out there at the time.
Right.
But, you know, it just shows you that, you know, you never know how your journey is going to end up at a place like the Ohio State. And you just have to be prepared to come in and be ready. And Fox was ready. And, you know, he went into the game and then, you know, again, right away got tested, you know, and he stood up to the test and he stood up the rest of the year. And that's why when it came time for the Outback Bowl that year and Derek Ross had to declare for the NFL, he was the perfect guy to go in there. And Fox is, you know, Dustin, you're a guy who, again, you know, you just hit on it. You can run, you can jump, you can do any and everything out there. You could have played a corner, safety, a number of positions, even on offense. So that just tells you the type of guys that are in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you see them go out there and play, we have guys who can do multiple things, and that's the beauty, one of the beautiful things of, you know, being a part of a brotherhood like the Ohio State.
Hey, see, you know, we started – and I played that. We played the clip of the, you know, pass interference, and you guys end up scoring after that. Do you believe, like, looking at that play, you know, all these years later, I think it probably was a hold more than a pass interference, which would have been the same result anyway. But it was clearly a foul. I mean, I can't believe that Miami, you know, because it's not like they didn't win before that. They've had great success previously. I can't believe that they and their fans are still, like, angry about that now. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There was a penalty on that play. That bottom line for me. I don't know.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you on that. There was definitely a penalty, and I hate it in all sports, not just football, but even in basketball. I don't know why, when it gets down to those final crunch time minutes or plays, that people want the refs to swallow their whistles. Now, if that happened at any other point in the game, and a penalty was called, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, I guess. But, you know, since I think it's pretty lame on their part. And, again, their program has tanked since then, and they're a laughingstock. And, and then you see how we've hit the upward trend and have been, you know, who we are today. But, you know, I've been looking on Twitter. If they really want to be that petty, the game should have never gotten to overtime in the first place. There are a number of plays out there that wasn't called on, you know, on our behalf that could have ended the game. You know, the one I really thought Chris Gamble was held, and I also thought that he made the catch, which would have ended the game in regulation.
Right.
And so we could have had a gripe about that, but that's where we're different. You know, Miami is real big on intimidation. They want you to, you know, give in to them before the game starts. And that's based off of their swag and their intimidation, the way that they try to, you know, put that persona out there, because that's what they did in the earlier days, you know, when they were playing against the Notre Dames and teams like that. But we understood their history, and we understood that we weren't going to be scared of anything like that. And so I always say Miami can bring all the damn swag they want to the party. The Buckeyes are going to bring, you know, we're going to bring our game, and we're going to hit. And I just think that, you know, they had us sadly mistaken for that Nebraska team that they played the year before, and they don't understand that we have athletes out this world. I mean, we had Florida athletes. When you look at Michael Jenkins, you look at Christopher Vance, you look at Chris Gamble, those are Florida guys. Lydell Ross, Florida guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we had Florida guys all over the field too, but we had our share of Midwest guys, which I always like to shout out, because we're not slow. We don't play some old school style of ball. You know, we can play any style of a ball. So I'm really, you know, glad that we were able to, you know, keep our focus, keep our heads, and go out there and play respectfully. I think, you know, the most disappointing thing, you know, over the past, you know, years is just the way that they have been, and they've had people on ESPN and on these outlets, and I think due to their bitching and complaining, it has really tried to take away from how great our team was and what exactly we had done over the years. You know, they went right away to talking about Texas, USC, this, that, the other. But I even think with rewatching the game last night and the way that the rules in the game have changed today, that's the way football was played. You know, there's a lot of click-clacking out there, a lot of hitting going on out there. And like I tweeted last night, I think every one of us would have had our asses ejected out of the game with the rules that are in place today, the helmet, I mean, everything. So I think that game needs to have a lot more respect attached to it. I think if the Miami guys would, you know, quit, you know, whining and miss their whole fan base, it's like they're annoying.
It's amazing.
Like, except that you were part of a great game. Yes.
AC, let me hold you up. We got to take a break, but normally we don't do this, but we got more we want to get to with you. Can you hang in for another segment?
I'm here, man.
All right, hang in. We're going to keep talking with C. Grant. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with more with C. Grant next right here on The Fan. We're reminiscing about last night's rebroadcast, Ohio State, Miami. And see, you know, you were talking about, like, you know, I thought when the Miami guys were talking, I still felt like they came off as arrogant D's. I looking back at it, I don't know how you felt about it. And, you know, it shouldn't be personal for me. Obviously, it should be personal for you guys. What did you think about that?
I did. I mean, I watched it just like everybody else, and I still felt like they had a lot of animosity and a lot of that fake swag that they go about. I mean, there's two quotes that I have for those guys, and they come from two great Ohio State head coaches. One in Coach Jim Tressel is, "You get as your worth deserves." Now, that doesn't, you know, people like to look at that from a positive standpoint, but that can also go negative. If you don't respect your opponent and you go about, your business in that way, you get as your work's deserved. Just like on the flip end with us, if you hang in there and see, you know, everything through, you get as your work's deserved. And then the great, you know, Coach John Cooper used to say, it doesn't catch up to you until it catches up to you. Right. And I really felt like those guys were hungover from their victory a year ago. And let's just be honest, the Big East at that time was not the Big Ten. And so they were reading their own, you know, media guys. They were reading, you know, listening to their, you know, to all this, oh, the Miami guys. And they start believing their own damn hype. And while we're sitting there nose to the grind and understanding, you know, from a guy, a leader like Coach Trussell, you have to earn everything you get in life. You know, Coach Trussell used to tell us specifically, do never pass up an opportunity expecting another one to be there. You have to take advantage of it. So, you know, it wasn't a – and we had a great team, but never did we go in there and expect that we could just roll our helmets out there because we're the Ohio State, because we have every right to do that too if we wanted to. We're just a little different. You know, we understood that we're going to have to go out here and we're going to have to fly around and we're going to have to play football. So, I mean, if those guys want to hold that anger and animosity and look the way they look at this point in time, then they can have it. It's a bad look for those guys. You know what I mean? Right. We're the champs, and I believe that they would get a little more credit, and I know that we would get more credit if they would just look at it as, you know what, we didn't come out here to play. And that's what happens to you. And use it as a learning tool and get your program back up. Because right now, like, I'm like, I call them the who. I mean, I know they're the you, but the who? I don't even know who the hell you are anymore. So it's right. Like crying over spilt milk. Like, we've already cleaned that up. And we're on, you know, and we've taken that step. And now look what we have. You know, I mean, Ohio State has not fallen off. Prior to that 2002 season, you know, we were fighting at the bits. I remember a 6-6 season. I remember seasons like that, 8-5, 7-5. So during those years, we understood, and I felt I was on those teams like, hey, man, Ohio State is a great university. You think of the Archie Griffins and the Woody Hayes and, and all the teams that have come through. And in the 90s, like, if we don't get our stuff together, then we're going to end up, you know, in a bad situation. And we came as a collective group there in 2002 and said, hey, we're going to get past Michigan. We're going to get past that. And then we're going to be ready for this mighty Miami team. And they, on the other hand, was thinking about, you know, after parties and who's going to be there. So I'm glad that those guys, you know, got humbled that way. And like you said, they still have this fake swag about them. But yep. I think when they go home at night by themselves, they understood that, you know, they can't look themselves in the mirror and say that they did everything that they were supposed to do because they weren't focused. You know what I mean? They were a very talented team. You know what I mean? But they weren't more talented than us. You know, if you look at both teams had team, you know, guys get drafted. It's about the mindset. It's mindset over skill set. We have skills, but our mind was right. They have skills, but their mind was not right. And so that's what happens. That's what I told my son, who's going to enter a freshman year in high school. I said, son, you're going to Pittsburgh Central Catholic next year. You guys are one of the top 100 schools in the country. You know what I mean? Work on your faith, work on your academics, and be the best athlete that you can be. But you're crazy if you think that you're just going to be able to roll your helmets out there and people are going to give in to you. I always say that film lies to you. You have to know who you are before you know who your opponent is. Meaning, I know who we are as the Ohio State. I understand that when I'm in film session and I'm watching, say, a Illinois with Brandon Lloyd at the time, and the way those guys are going about their business, they're playing against Northwestern. They're playing against Wisconsin. That's not the Block O. So when they come into the Shoe or we go to Champaign, they're going to play out of their mind. Because any time that we're on your schedule, it's a big-time game. And so, you know, I like the way our mindset was, and that's why we're champions, man. You know, we have good coaches. We have good kids that were out there playing hard, and the great state of Ohio deserved it, man. You know, 1968 was – go ahead.
Sorry, we are up against it. We've got about 30 seconds, and it's a hard out here. Can I get one line of Carmen, Ohio?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Time and change will surely show how firm thy friendship. Oh, Ohio.
How about that?
I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you. I'm sorry I'm so long-winded, but I appreciate you. Thank you.
That was awesome. It was awesome having you on.
Love you, C.
Appreciate it. Love you guys. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.